he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so that he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so that he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working
deep down inside. He's working on a people.
Oh, so that he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so that he'll be glorified. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive. Oh, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride.
Something is working deep down inside.
Yes, he's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside.
He's working on a people.
Oh, so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working
deep down inside.
He's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people. Oh, yes, he gave me a chance to strive. Yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside.
He's working on the people so that he'll be glorified.
Oh, and he gave me a chance to strive. Oh, yes, he gave me a chance.
Something is working deep down inside.
He's working on a people so he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive. Oh yes, he gave me a chance to strive for. the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people
so that he'll be glorified.
Oh, yes, he gave me a chance to strive.
Yes, he gave me a chance
to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people
so that he'll be glorified.
Oh, yes, he gave me a chance to strive.
Yes, he gave me a chance
to strive for the bride.
Oh, now
something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people
so that he'll be glorified.
And he gave me a chance to strive. Oh, yes, he gave me a chance
to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people so that he'll be glorified. And he gave me a chance to strive.
Oh, yes, he gave me a chance to strive for the bride. Something is working deep down inside. He's working on a people
so that he'll be glorified.
And he gave me a chance to strive.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I came here to praise you. I just wanted to praise you. I'll not mention my needs. You've been so good to me. Lord, I love you so. I came here to thank you. I just wanted to thank you for the many things you've done, for your blessings each one. I just wanted you to know.
Mention my need, you've been so good to me,
Lord, I love you. All the mission of my youth.
carries him far, isn't there? And he's certainly worthy of our praises. I thank God so much for his goodness and all that he's doing. And service is open. Let's just reach out here. Let the Lord use you.
The opportunity to come this way, to be on this journey. I can't say that I've enjoyed every ride, but I've took the ride and I'm staying on the ride, so yeah, that's what's most important. Today at between services, I was telling Brother Paul, I'd had a dream earlier this week, and I kind of, when Brother Smith was talking in Bible study today and then in church today, the dream came back to me. I hadn't really even thought about that much about it. I did that morning when I woke up, but I'd had a dream that I was in a room with some people, I don't know how many, but in the dream, I had let everybody know that I was a bodybuilder. You know, and when you first think about that, you know, if you think about it in the natural, you know, you lift weights and you walk and you exercise. But I knew that wasn't what God was telling me. You know, I knew he was saying, you know, you're a bodybuilder and this is what you need to confess. And then when Brother Smith mentioned today about, you know, confessing, you know, opening up and letting people know you believe in God and you believe in Jesus and this is the life that you're going down, it brought me back to my dream that I had. And so that's really about all I have to say, is just that, you know, I want to build the body of Christ. I want to be in the body of Christ. I want to be a person that helps make up that bride. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. My life, I was raised out in the Church of Christ. I think everybody here is home, folks. And I didn't get indoctrinated with their beliefs and their teachings because I left when I was a young girl, and I just really never got into, you know, what they really taught there. And so when I came this way and when I first started hearing the message, even before I came here, before I actually came through the doors, I heard some things and it was like, Lord, you know, it was just black and white. It's like, gosh, that's so simple. How could you, it just made sense, you know. And that's how I feel like that the Lord has blessed me to hear the Word of God. It makes sense when it's explained, you know, and when I'm reading it with the explanations that Brother Smith, Brother Weiniger, Brother Liniger, the ones that I have sat under have gave it. It's like the rainbow just, you know, goes off in my mind. And I want the Lord to know that I'm appreciative that he's touched my mind to help me see and know what he is teaching and what he's wanting us to do. And I don't know how fitting this is, but it just came to my mind when Brother Smith was talking today and talking to the young boys and girls about marriage. Brother Paul might could do better at giving you our story about marriage, but we both were previously married and things didn't work out, and we both stayed in church and never once did I consider ever, after I became single, looking at somebody else. You know, I would have people, especially on my jobs, well, you know, that gentleman's interested in you. Why don't you go out on a date? And I says, well, I ain't interested in marrying him, so why would I go on a date with him, you know? And but I had got that teaching from our ministry, and I had listened to it. And It's kind of funny. I'm going to try to remember this the best I can because I feel like it's very important for you young people. God gave me this testimony. I didn't get it on my own. He gave it to me with God's ministry. But Brother Paul was looking at me, and I didn't know it. And Brother Weiniger came to me and asked me, you know, he says, Brother Paul's interested. And I mean, what I had been through in my previous marriage, I was, you know, no. No. And Brother Weiniger was sweet to Brother Paul and told him, he said, Brother Paul, she says no to everybody. So he kind of forewarned him, you know, you're probably going to get the no answer. And so, and I did. I gave the no answer. But I've really tried in my life to wait on the Lord and watch and listen to see what He's doing and what He wants. And to have an open heart if He wants me to change. And so I remembered going to Batesville one night. Sister Inez and myself and several of us had went to Batesville. And I want to even say Brother Paul was on that trip in a different vehicle and, you know, everything. And I got a touch that night. And I really didn't know what it was. But I'd gotten a touch. I didn't know what the Lord was doing. But when I got home, my house had been broken into. And as Sister Inez dropped me off, and this was when I had Cody, and he was probably not even a year old, and he went with us everywhere as my oldest little grandchild. And she dropped me off, and she seen that I walked through the door, and she left. But when I walked through, when I opened the door, closet doors were open, and I knew immediately somebody had been in my house. But what I heard the Lord say was, if you weren't single, you wouldn't be feeling this fear you're feeling right now, and you wouldn't be alone. Okay. And then at that time I also had Ruth, Michelle from New York or the Philadelphia area living with me. I had a young Dominican, or no, Haitian girl that her parents wanted her to go to school here. Well, while she was living with me, she told me, she said, and this just kind of tells you how stubborn I can be sometimes. I'm sorry. It comes from my family and I'm working on it. But she told me, she said, I had a dream about you and you're going to marry Brother Paul. And I looked at her and I said, well, if the Lord wants me to marry Brother Paul, he'll let me have a dream. So, it, you know, and this all happened in probably less than a 2 month time. Well, after the Batesville trip, there was a meeting in Russellville. And you never know who God will use and what God will do and how He will work. But it is so important to keep your eyes on the fact that it's Him, you know, and that it's not your will. It's not my will. And because my will was saying, no, you know, absolutely not. And, I mean, I had a great job, you know, I had a home, you know, I had the Lord, and, but He wanted to add one more blessing to my life. And, so at the Russellville meeting, I had Cody with me, of course, he went everywhere with me. And we had stood up, and the service was wonderful. You could tell the Lord was just ready to just dump it out. You know, if you wanted it, it was just going to be there. And I was holding Cody, and he kept telling me, come on, Nana, come on. And I said, what do you want, Cody? Come on. And so I thought he just wanted down. So I put him down on the floor, you know. He grabbed my hand. Come on. I was like, okay, maybe he needs to go get a drink, you know, or something. He led me up to be prayed for. Now, we're talking about a little boy that can barely walk. And that day, all the pain that I had went through, all the walls that I had put up around me came down. And I was able to open my heart. Sometimes things in life can happen to you. It did me. That was so painful and so hurtful
that I closed my doors and I closed my windows and I wouldn't let anybody in. And so after that, I had a different feeling. I knew the Lord was talking to me, because even there was another time that I had come home and a rock had went through my back window on the back of my house. And I think that was kind of probably the first thing that happened that I thought, ooh, you know. But things just kept happening. Just little things just happened like that. And it helped me to open up my heart towards Brother Paul. Now, if he wants to tell you how he prayed, that was what was really so kind and tender. But during this time, he had said a prayer, and things kept happening. And I looked at him one day, because he had to come work on a piece of equipment at my house, and he repented to me. And I looked at him. I was standing there thinking, Lord, whoever gets this man's going to get a good one. But at that point, my eyes still hadn't, you know, my heart, the Lord hadn't been able to break that bondage on my heart. But that's how important. And I had prayed one time and told the Lord, I said, God, if you ever want me to marry again, you are just almost literally going to have to write this man's name across the sky for me. But you know what? I knew. I knew when God started dealing with me, and I knew to listen. And what was so important to me at that time was that he went through the right channels, and he went through Brother Weiniger, and Brother Weiniger came to me. And then when my heart changed, I went back to Brother Weiniger to let him know. And I think if I say much more, I might reveal anything Brother Paul would want to say. But it is important. It is important, young people, because you can get mixed up in a marriage that will not only just destroy you for a short season, but if it isn't of God and it isn't the one, and there are going to be struggles, you know. Brother Brant wrote a song about us to the tune of the Thompson Bunch, or to the tune of the Brady Bunch, you know. And when you combined our two families together, we had the Brady Bunch. And the more children you have, the more troubles you're going to have. You know, that's just a fact. But I can stand today and thank the Lord that he dealt with my heart in such a wonderful way and took the pain away so I could open up and love somebody else, because he's been a true joy and a true blessing.
Told her this, but no, nobody could really replace my mom, as far as, because she had me and everything, but she's been a great mom to me for everything that she's been, and I really appreciate you, sister. I'm very thankful to have her as my new mom, I guess you'd say, in that sense. And I feel like God does everything for a reason, for his reason, in his purpose, and he knows what he's doing, so I know that we have to trust in that. And I've thought of why those things happened a lot. And you know what? I finally came to the conclusion that I would never figure it out. And it doesn't even really matter why, because he knows what he's doing, and that's what matters most. And the positive side to it, I thought, is somehow, some way, it probably had something to do with me coming to Little Rock and not having any distractions. It's kind of tough to think of that, but it's the truth. And God does know what he's doing, and he has them in his hands in that sense, so he can deal with them later. Right now he's dealing with me, and I'm very thankful for that. Thankful for how far he's brought me in my life. And I was reading a verse that says, I laid me down and slept. I feel like most of my life that's what I was doing, that I waked. I feel like that's where I'm at now. For the Lord sustained me. And I was thinking back, and I feel like God sustained me from the time that I was a boy until now, and held my hand, and he just helped me to get to back to where I needed to be. And I'm thankful to be here, and I really look forward for the things that he has for me in my life. And I know that he's called me to do some specific things. And today when you were talking, Brother Smith, I felt like you were talking directly to me. And I know that lately my eyes have been on my business and doing, you know, what I thought was good. And I realized that one of these days that business really isn't even going to matter anyway. So I need to learn how to just let it go. And I really feel like God's dealing with me about that. That I better start making my treasure in heaven. Because if I keep my eyes on the things of this world, that's where I'm going to end up being left at in that sense. So I'm thankful that God loves us enough to keep directing us and not let us get off course for too long. And thankful that he keeps his hand on us. And I'm thankful to be here tonight, and thankful for his blessings and my brothers and sisters in him. And I'm thankful for what he's opening up right now, because I really feel like the things that Brother Smith has been talking about before Brother Smith even really started talking about them a couple of years ago, I felt those things. And then he started talking about them, about how we have to get ready, because the day of the Lord is here and God is calling people in. And I feel like most of all myself, I want to be ready to help somebody else and to be a living example of Christ by putting on the mind of Christ. And I've really been thinking about that lately. I was thinking about it before Brother Smith even said anything about how you can have the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't mean you have the mind of Christ. I distinguish the difference between those two things. And I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to live 1 Corinthians 13 and be a living epistle of God's word, and not just coming to church and then going back out and living a different life out there, because that is not an example. And I've really realized lately how important it is to live your life by example. If you only live 10% or 20% or whatever God has you at this time, if you just live it, if it's 5% or 3% or even 1%, if you will live that and allow God to help you to live that to the fullest at that level, then he'll give you a little bit more. And so my goal is to allow God to use me and to do what he wants to do with my life from this point on, but also as he moves me from level to level, to not hold him back. And I've realized how easy it is to let things in this world distract you from what he has for us. And I really believe and feel in my heart that he does or is going to use every one of us in his own way. And if the pinky finger on the hand ain't working, then the hand, it'd be harder to pick the hammer up and swing it to pound a nail in. And the same with, you know, I really think about that body thing, how we are the body of Christ and how each member in here has a purpose. If it's just encouraging somebody else or smiling at them or seeing somebody going through something and praying for them, or I know there's people that are prayer warriors. I've come to realize that through the years, you know, that people that just pray for people every single day. I'm thankful for those people, and I'm thankful that God knows what he's doing in each and every one of our lives, and he is using us for his glory and not our own. And I feel like myself, nobody else, myself, I want to lay my life down on the altar for him to use me for whatever it is. And if that means giving my life up for him completely, which, I mean, I know in the natural, that's, or in the spiritual, that's one thing, but there may come a day and time where it is in the natural. And I feel like if I don't start preparing myself for that today and letting God deal with my heart and getting the things out and putting on the mind of Christ, then when that day comes, then I'll be right where I'm at right now if I don't start allowing Him to till the ground up now, today. So I feel like that when Brother Smith talks about the day of the Lord is here, that includes that. I really think about those things about, you know, you are going to get to a point when you get far enough in me and you put enough of my armor on, as you would call it, that if somebody did spit in your face, you couldn't get upset at them. Or if somebody did persecute you, because it says in the Bible, it says, blessed are they, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And one part of me looks forward to that day. Another part of me don't look forward to that day. But I know that it starts today. It starts right now. It starts with my brother and sister. God showed me in the last few weeks that if I can't respond to my brother or my sister in the right manner, then how can I respond to an ungodly person when they come up against me or when they throw something at me that's not right? And brother, sister, ungodly person, the thing that I'm realizing more and more each day is that that is how our light shines. That is the light of Christ. When somebody persecutes you, and I'm not saying that I'm completely there yet, because it's tough, but I am allowing God to work on me, and I'm learning to see things as a victory in the working, and that He is, that I know for a fact, I believe with all my heart, that He can give us an A on those tests that He allows us to go through if we'll just allow Him to. And instead of looking at it, because in the past I've looked at it like, well, why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to put up with this? Or why can't this just work out? But what I realized is it's me. And the second that I quit making excuses and blaming it on everybody else is the second that I become accountable and let God deal with me and to help me burn the things out of my life that aren't right. And I was thinking today when Brother Smith was up talking, I had a dream when I was a kid. I was about 9 or 8, somewhere around that, when we lived in Alexander, Dad. And I dreamed that whole area out there burned up. It all caught on fire. And I've often wondered through my life if God was going to burn the world up. Because when you have a dream like that and you're a little kid and just out of the nowhere, and it was pretty disastrous. I mean, I still remember it to this day. I mean, the fields were on fire. There was nothing that was going to be safe from that fire. And I felt like today, I felt like God kind of, that He answered that. And that fire is the fire that we go through every day in life, the fiery trials of life. And there's only one thing I realized in a fire that doesn't burn up as far as something laying on top of the earth, and that's a rock. And I thought about that because trees burn and grass burns and dirt don't burn, but but a rock is the only thing. If you just think of, I mean, the animals would burn, everything would burn. The houses, steel would melt, but a rock doesn't burn as far as I know. It may melt, but most rocks I think withstand heat. But the point I'm making is Jesus is that rock. And if we allow Him to come out in our life and to be that rock that He needs to be in our life, then everything else will burn up and consume, and the only thing a person will see in us is the mind of Christ in Jesus Christ. And that's the point that I want to get to. So I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I love every one of y'all.
I got some explaining to do, you know. but if God be for you, who can be against you? Isn't that right? I appreciate being here and being amongst God's people. And I'll finish up a little bit of that story that Sister Ann was talking about. I did pray. You know, I prayed that, actually, I'll tell you what I did. I prayed that her furnace would break. And it did, you know. Well, you know, you ever notice how when you pray, and usually here's why it works. You pray, and then you forget all about it. Then something happens, you know. Then, you know, you pray that way, then furnace, sure enough, furnace broke. Hey, look at here, you know. And so I goes, well, first she called her dad to look at it. He couldn't figure it out, so she called me, you know. And go over and fix it. I think I made 3 trips over there to fix that furnace. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, and then, you know, later on, I get the news on that. Brother Weinger told me, well, she don't want nothing to do with you. You know, okay. Well, and then so what I did, I just settled in my mind, well, God, I'm, you know, that's fine, you know. I'm going on, you know. And so the point is, you're willing to give it up. Willing to die out to your will and what you think it ought to be. And, you know, it's not wrong, you know, to desire something, but your desire is actually your will, isn't it? It has tied in there. But it's the Lord's will is what we want. And so I settled in my mind that, God, just whatever your will is, you know, I can understand, you know. Here I'd raise 5 boys, got 5 boys. That's a lot of luggage there, isn't it? That's a lot, isn't it? And, you know, and different things. And then one day, Brother Weinger caught me after church and said, I want to talk to you. I said, oh my God, what has Daniel done now? You know. Oh boy, you know. My youngest son. Yeah. And I had no earthly idea. He called me up there and told me, and, you know, Sister Ann changed her mind. And I'm going to use one of Brett's expression. My jaw dropped. It was so unbelievable, you know. But we serve a great God. And though that was, you know, in some people's lives, that could be every day, you know, I'm sure marriage is a big decision, you know, that you make, you know, but at that particular moment in my life, that was a miracle, a great miracle. And it was God answering prayer. And so I appreciate God for that, you know. And Sister Ann's been a great help to me. There was a void in my life, actually, that I didn't understand, you know. It was you... Boy, I'm about to tell off on myself a little bit, but, you know, because I don't know how to explain that. There was a void there. But anyway, I guess the best way I can say it is she believed in me. It was something that she put confidence that she held in me that lifted me up out of a... a belief of unworthiness, of doubt, and you know, enough things can happen in your life. You can try and fail a lot of times. And after a while, you get tired of that. But, you know, God knew what I needed. And I believe that if that hadn't come about, God had another way. He could have, you know, God's God. And God was lifting my faith already. So, another part that Brother Smith was talking about is sometimes I've experienced this recently even. You can't do things in your own strength. It doesn't mean you don't try. But there was a time that I don't know what the feeling that come over me, but I didn't read my Bible, you know, for a few days, you know. I didn't bombard heaven with prayers. I didn't do that. Now, I've done it in the past. I've done those things. But did you know God used me? He did. And that was just to show me that it's not my strength. It's not my diligence. Yes, I believe we should do those things. We should study the Word of God. We should pray. And we should call upon the name of the Lord. But all in all, God can show himself strong. And I appreciate God for that. It showed me. I got a glimpse of the power of God working. Just a glimpse. And I needed that. I appreciate God for that. You know, after I see God do something like that, I think I'm about ready to hear one of them seven thunders. You know? When God does something like that, you really feel, if I can express this properly, you feel like, well, you know, it wasn't me. It's humbling in a way. It's nothing I did. It's absolutely nothing I did, but just the power of God working. Nothing I did. I didn't deserve. I wasn't worthy. And if I'm not explaining myself right, and maybe you all have experienced that before. Maybe you have. But that was my first time to experience that, and I appreciate God for that. But I believe that God will answer prayers. And I believe if you'll ask God, God, what is your will for my life? And you may seek a direction. I think I'll put my feelers out in this direction. Pray about that. And when you least expect it, when you forgot all about it, and you think God's, you know, you're, in other words, you just turn it over to God and you've decided that you know, it's just God's will, whatever, and God will come through. He'll answer those prayers for you. And I appreciate God tonight.
walking out the door, and I saw Sister Rachel Smith. And I asked her, I said, "Mom, when you was in Brother Dawkins' church, how many girls were they?" And she said, "There were dozens of girls." "How many boys were they in the church?" You know how forward my mom can be. She said, "None." Well, it was a reversal when I was growing up in church. There was a bunch of us guys and hardly any girls. And I was 30-something before I did whatever I had to do. So here's DJ, you know, that's the rest of the story. But I'm thankful that we are in a body, that we can wait upon the Lord. I mean, here we're going with some old stories. These are stories, here's some stuff the Republic people hadn't heard. When I was in high school, I don't know why. Brother Smith, you are truly factual. Girls are bold. Girls would call, cheerleaders and lionettes would call me up asking me for a date. And when I was growing up, Brother Tucker would teach, don't date outside of the church. And I would, it's a compliment, but you think, okay, how do I handle this where I don't hurt this person's feelings? But, you know, I had to let a lot of people down. I don't know if there was a dare just to see if I would, or if it was a true, legit kind of thing. But I had several calls when I was in high school from different ones. This lionette, this cheerleader would call me up, and I'd think, oh, Lord, not again. But I'm thankful. I grew up in the body. I'm still in the body. And I've been living the way I have for 7 years. So I've heard different people say, well, they sure got married quick. No one can ever say that about me again. Because I waited till I was 30 before I got married the first time. And if I do get married again when I'm 60 or 80, and Sister Thompson, I agree with you. It's got to be neon signs or something before I do it again. But you just got to know that's right, because if it ain't right, it's something you don't want to get involved in. And I've heard some things Brother Smith talked about that perked my ear. If it wasn't for those men in the past, like Martin Luther, when he nailed the 95 Theses, John Charles Wesley, and then up to today, this church would not be where it's at today. So I'd like to be in the place that God can use me in the proper way and not do something just spontaneous. One thing I think about this accident that I've had, I used to be a very movable person. I moved around too quick and maybe said some things where I had athlete's tongue. Brother Oates caught it. But, you know, but I'd rather be where I just know when to move the proper speed, do it when it should be done, and doing it the proper way, so I won't have to have as many heartaches as I've had in the past. Also, I've also had a dream here lately, and it's weird, the dream I had here lately. I got to talk to Brother Smith about this one, though. It was the old church. An old church member that's still here told me of something in the future. And I thought, oh, now that, It don't make sense when you have something from the very way past tell you something that is a probable future. So, you know, it's just, it was weird. And something else that happened in the dream, it didn't make sense either, but, you know, something I need to talk to Brother Smith about. But I have dreams every once in a while at church and have little warnings. God tries to slap my hand before I slap my own self, you know. So I'm thankful for being in the body of Christ and being one of those, as Brother Smith says, a body brat. And say the right thing and try to edify the church and not just try to edify myself. And do what is needed, not just spontaneous, well, that's an idea, let's go with it. I don't want to be spontaneous like I used to be, because that's, sometimes it don't work out that way. But I'm just glad to be here, and I'd like to hear that song that Brett sang, but, you know, we'll see what happens on that, about Brother Paul and Sister Ann, because I forgot the lyrics. But that's just something about the Brady Bunch we can't remember about. But I'm thankful I'm in the body. And I'm thankful that I've got my unique way. We all have our unique ways of getting our points across. Some are serious. I was reading on Facebook, it cracked me up. Lori Johnson said, "You serious?" I said, "Well, I'm more serious than I used to be." She said something about me being serious, and I told her, "Yeah, I'm more serious than I used to be." So I'm thankful I'm here. And I'm thankful I'm in the body of Christ. And I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, not what Keith Dawson wants me to do.